Karede knows the drill. Bleach masks the smell of blood. First, scrub the bathroom tiles. Then, wipe down every surface that might hold a fingerprint. While she methodically erases the crime scene, her sister Ayula sits perched on the toilet, scrolling through Instagram, her designer dress still stained with her boyfriend's blood. This is the third time Ayula has called Karede with those chilling words, "I killed him." Three victims makes it official. Ayula is a serial killer, and Karede is her reluctant accomplice. What makes this relationship so compelling isn't just the murder, but the stark contrast between the sisters' reactions to it. While Karede meticulously cleans, checking and rechecking surfaces, Ayula seems utterly unbothered. She can't even remember Femi's surname, yet recalls with perfect clarity every word of the poem he wrote praising her beauty. When asked why she was carrying the knife that killed him, Ayula's answer is simple: for protection. Against what? Against men who want what they want when they want it. The physical disparity between the sisters mirrors their different experiences navigating the world. Karede stands nearly 6 feet tall with dark skin like a Brazil nut, all hard edges and practical efficiency. Ayula is petite with caramel-colored skin, curves in all the right places, an angelic face that belies her capacity for violence. This inequity crystallized during their school days. Karede endured cruel taunts about her appearance. Boys drew caricatures of her gorilla lips and bulging eyes. She steeled herself to protect Ayula when she arrived at the school, imagining her sister would need comfort. Instead, Ayula was asked out by a senior student on her first day, an unprecedented honor. The pattern continues into adulthood. At the hospital where Karede works as a nurse, she remains largely invisible despite her competence. When Ayula visits, she immediately captures the attention of Dr. Tade, the handsome doctor Karede secretly loves. Beauty becomes Ayola's alibi, her get-out-of-jail-free card, while Karede bears the psychological burden of their shared crimes. Violence shadows the sisters' lives, beginning long before Ayola's first murder. Their father kept a knife sheathed and locked away, displaying it for guests with elaborate origin stories that varied each time. This knife, later inherited by Ayula, symbolizes their traumatic past. Their father's cruelty defined their childhood. When Ayula once touched his knife, leaving chocolate smears, he dragged her by her hair across the hallway. When a boy showed interest in teenage Ayula, he ordered her to strip and beat her with his cane, stopping only when Karede warned that scars would raise questions. The day of his death remains vivid. One moment, towering over Karede, reaching for his cane, the next, slumping to the floor, hitting his head on the glass coffee table. They watched his blood pool as life left him. 10 years later, they attend his memorial wearing matching purple outfits, the color he hated, with sunglasses concealing their dry eyes. In the sterile quiet of room 313, Karede finds an unexpected confidant, Mukhtar Yautai, a comatose patient whose daddy long-legs limbs dangle over the bed's edge like broken marionette strings. The rhythmic beeping of his monitors creates a soundtrack for Karede's confessions as he becomes her perfect listener, eternally patient, unable to respond, judge, or reveal her dark secrets. "I wish Tade would see me, Mukhtar, really see me," she confesses during one particularly vulnerable visit. These one-sided conversations become Karede's sole outlet for raw honesty, the only space where she can acknowledge the crushing weight of complicity in her sister's escalating pattern of violence. The dynamic shifts dramatically when Mukhtar unexpectedly awakens, calmly stating, "Oh yes, I recall you saying that your sister is a serial killer." What follows is a fascinating moral negotiation. Karede briefly considers eliminating this threat, experiencing firsthand what she imagines Ayula feels, one minute happy, the next filled with murderous intent. Instead, she discovers unexpected understanding in Mukhtar's measured responses and thoughtful silences. Big sisters look after little sisters. This instruction, given to Kareid when she first saw baby Ayula, has defined her life. When Ayula killed Samto at 17, Kareid helped dispose of the body, pouring diesel over it and setting it ablaze. With each subsequent murder, Kareid's role as protector deepens, even as her moral compass falters. The narrative questions where protection ends and complicity begins. When Femi's sister confronts Kareid demanding answers, Kareid nearly confesses. Ayula appears, casually eating ice cream, and suggests Femi might be dead, devastating the sister. As Ayula embraces the grieving woman while watching her ice cream drip, Kareid rationalizes that she needed freedom from hope, and only her brother's killer was willing to provide it. The ultimate test comes when Kareid rushes to Tade's home after Ayula's panicked call, finding her sister wounded. When Tade claims Ayula tried to kill him while Ayula claims the opposite, Kareid chooses her sister without hesitation, threatening to support Ayula's version if Tade speaks out. Silence operates as both protection and poison throughout the narrative. The sisters' shared secrets create an unbreakable bond, but also isolate them from authentic connection with others. Kareid's silence about Ayola's true nature allows her sister to continue claiming victims, while Ayola's silence about their father's death maintains their precarious family stability. This foundational secret shapes their relationship with their mother, who remains oblivious to her daughter's deadly activities. When Femi disappears, she embraces Ayula, telling her to share everything, not knowing what everything truly means. When police question Ayula about Tade's alleged attack, their mother stands firmly by her daughter's side, never questioning the inconsistencies. Silence also characterizes Kareid's unrequited love for Tade. She keeps her feelings hidden, watching helplessly as he falls for Ayula. When he compliments her baking or touches her shoulder comfortingly, she treasures these small moments but never reveals her true feelings. Her silence becomes self-protective. If she never acknowledges her love aloud, perhaps its inevitable disappointment will hurt less. As the story concludes, Kareid faces opportunities to break free from the cycle of violence. She could confess to authorities, pursue a relationship with Mukhtar, or stop enabling her sister. Yet each time, she retreats to familiar patterns of protection, ultimately burning Mukhtar's phone number and accepting that Ayola needs me more than I need untainted hands. In the novel's final scene, as Kareid meets Ayola's newest potential victim, silence reasserts itself. The unspoken knowledge that this man may soon join others beneath the Third Mainland Bridge hangs between the sisters as they exchange smiles, renewing their silent pact of complicity. What would you do if your most loved person became a monster? Would you protect them at any cost, or draw the line between loyalty and morality? In a world where beauty masks dark intentions and family bonds become deadly chains, sometimes the most dangerous question isn't, what have you done, but rather, what will I do about it?